Well, good evening, everyone. So glad to have you back here at First Baptist Church of Glendale. I hope you've had a great, great afternoon. Tonight, we will be continuing our study in Acts. Just as a reminder, if you'd like to sign up for our CPR, first aid, first response, AED training, October 4th is the deadline to sign up for that. Additionally, there is a lot more else going on in our church, so make sure you always check the newsletter to see what is happening and what is going on. Love to pray for us as we get started, and then we will continue in worship. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Lord, thank you for this time we get to be together this evening. God, I pray that as we sing praises to you, as we pray, as we study your word, and as we fellowship together, I pray that you are honored above all. And God, I pray that you would help center our minds and our hearts on you and you alone. God, may this offering be pleasing to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I would add my welcome to you this evening. I'm glad you're here. As we worship tonight and in the future Sunday nights, one of us might sing with a mic. But we might not all sing with the mic. But you sing wherever you want to. Whether we're singing, all of us or not, we want you to feel comfortable to worship and to sing whenever you know the song and whenever you want to sing. So don't be limited to who's singing on what microphone. Don't let that catch you. Don't let that trip you up. In addition, we're starting a new month, so we're learning a new song in the month of October. And it is new to me. It is not a new song. The copyright is 2002. It's old. 20 years. 21 years old. It's called Offering, written by Paul Baloche. And you may know it. You may have heard it before. It was new for me. So I've been meditating on it, playing it over and over again for several weeks, trying to learn it so that I could sing it and teach you. The first verse, or the only verse, has some powerful words that I didn't think about. I mean, the first few times I sang it, I just didn't think about it. And as I began to meditate on it, I wanted to share with you what I believe the Lord impressed on my heart. The words are, the sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. I don't know about you, but when I go to the beach, that is the brightest place I can think of, is the beach. When there is not a cloud in the sky and the sun is high, there is always a shadow. Always a shadow. However, when we have professional pictures done and we go in a studio, they work really hard putting all these reflector things around so that there is no shadow when they take our picture, right? However, when we are in the presence of the glory of God, there is no shadow. There is light everywhere, before us, behind us, beneath us, above us. There is no shadow in his presence. So I want to share that first verse with you to the offering, and then you join us on the chorus, or you join me when you feel good, when you feel good about it. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. I forgot the words. Let me go back. Can we go back and do that verse again? Thank you, Miriam. Here we go. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood
Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you.
We'll sing that verse again.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne. To my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God.
Sing to you, to worship. And Lord, we just pray for Brandon as he delivers your word tonight. Lord, we just ask you to bless these offerings, and Lord, for it to go to your service. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Well, good evening again, everyone. As you open up your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I wanted to share another story with you from my childhood. And I know you guys always look forward to hearing these stories of how God has worked in my life, how far God has brought me. Praise the Lord, He has brought me far. It's a story about me and my sister. See, I have a sister who's about 5 years older than me. Her name's Brittany. And growing up, Brittany and I always fought. Go figure. We always fought over silly things. Like, did you know that there was a time back in the late 90s, early 2000s, that Burger King, whatever Burger King's version of Happy Meals are, Burger King's Happy Meal came with like a little spy set. And you could put a piece of equipment anywhere you want, and within something like 10 to 15 feet, revolutionary, you could hear what was happening through the microphone in that little piece. So what would I do as the annoying little brother? Well, I would stick that microphone, slide it under the door when my sister had friends over, and I would listen to what's going on because I just knew they were doing something they weren't supposed to, and I was going to bust them. So along these same lines, when I was growing up until the age of 3, I had something like platinum blonde hair. I mean, beautiful, almost white blonde hair. I looked something like Barbie. I was just a beautiful, beautiful baby. And then one day I got lice. I know, bummer. And so, again, I was probably 3 years old. I don't know all the ins and outs of details, but my mom decided, let's just shave his head. And so they buzzed me clean, and my hair grew back the color similar to it is now, somewhat of a dirty blonde. And so here's how the story goes. My sister told me, Brandon, you know why your hair is that color now, don't you? And I would say, no, why? She said, because all the lice pooped in your head. You got poop hair. And I would say, uh-huh, and she'd say, uh-huh, and I'd say, uh-huh, and she'd say, uh-huh. And all of this was this battle. And there's a point in every argument we had where we would say something that was definitely crossing the line. And here's what we would always say to each other. Well, I'm mom's favorite. I'm mom's favorite. And so we would storm up to my mom. Who's the favorite, me or her, him or me? And what would her response be? I don't have favorites. I don't have favorites. It was me, but she's not here to speak up for herself. Listen, tonight in Acts chapter 10, we're going to get a glimpse into Jewish people finally understanding within the context of the early church that God doesn't show favoritism. That God doesn't show favoritism. This is a huge statement, because who is God's chosen people? It's the Israelites. It's the Jewish people. And now this good news of Jesus Christ is not just for the Jewish people, but it's also for the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles as well. And so this is an amazing, amazing thing that's happening here, that Peter is going to begin to understand fully. And so in a moment, we're going to read Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 34 through 43, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dig a little bit deeper into this passage. Beginning in verse 34, you can follow on the screen, or you can open up the Bible in front of you. Peter began to speak. Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. He sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know the events that took place throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did in both the Judean country and in Jerusalem, and yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree. God raised up this man on a third day and caused him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us whom God appointed as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43. All the prophets testify about him that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, I just pray that as you speak to us, that we would be humble enough to hear what you have and obedient enough to apply what you're saying to us, God. Lord, as we study your word a little more in depth, I pray that this would be a rich, rich, encouraging time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's point number one today. I hope you're taking notes. If you're not, maybe you should. It might help you retain something a little more. In school, my teachers always told me to take notes. I did not. And wouldn't you know it, I retained almost none of that information. Go figure, they were right. So learn from my mistakes. Take some notes. Point number one today. God doesn't show favoritism. God does not show favoritism. What do we mean when we say favoritism? Well, when this idea of favoritism really holds this idea that I'm going to choose you over others. I'm going to pick you over others. I'm going to show favor. I'm going to show a little more partiality toward you. And so when we're saying God doesn't have favorites, this is, believe it or not, an incredibly controversial statement in the Acts of the early church. Incredibly controversial. Because these people have grown up thinking, we are God's favorites. I am the favorite. I'm one of God's chosen. And there was, now bear with me, because we would be in that same boat if we were Jewish. There is a great sense of, I understand that. Right? There's something really special that comes with being the favorite, right? It's why me and my sister always argued about who's the favorite, because what does the favorite get? Well, the favorite gets favor. The favorite gets favor over everyone else. The favorite is elevated above everyone else. So here's what we're going to see in this passage, right? We're going to hear language. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but follow along with me. We're going to hear language that Jesus was anointed or chosen. What we're actually going to see is that God doesn't have favorites in the nations, but God is going to uplift and exhort and raise up above all else, not people, not a nation, but his son, Jesus Christ. So, here's what verse number 34 says. Peter began to speak. Now, I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Again, this is baffling. This means that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is not just for those who are in Israel or those who are in Jerusalem or those who are in Judea, not even just those who are in Samaria. In any nation, anywhere, if they will fear God and do what is right, he will accept them. They will be acceptable to him. Verse 36. He sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So here's the order of operations, if you will. He sent the message first to the Israelites, but it wasn't just for the Israelites. Even though the message went there first, it wasn't to remain there. Right? And what proof do we have of this? Well, Jesus himself said, you are to go to all the nations. Right, you are to go, as you are going, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of these things, there is an understanding. You are not to keep this message to yourself in our nation so that we are some prosperous nation above all other nations. The understanding is this message is going to go everywhere. Because while, yes, you are my chosen people that the message was sent to, the message is now sent. And so now that you've received this message of Jesus Christ, forward that message to all the nations. Because God does not show favoritism. Peter comes to an understanding of this.
Verse 37. You know the events that took place throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil because God was with him. Here's point number two tonight. Curing all who are under the tyranny of the devil. That's a mouthful, I know. Curing all who are under the tyranny of the devil. Can I share something really fascinating with you? Do you know that the devil's name is not used as often as we might think it is in Scripture? I'm not saying he's not present, but it's just not used that often. Even in the Gospels, we don't really see the devil that much. Right? We see him when he's tempting Jesus, and then we hear reference to him when talking about Antichrist and all that. But we really don't see him that much. We don't see his character that much. But here's something fascinating. In the book of Acts chapter 10, we see that Jesus was going about doing good and curing all who were under the tyranny of the devil. There is a great understanding that all of the sickness, all of the pain, all of the chaos that was going on that Jesus healed was caused from the devil. It was his tyranny. Now, there's a couple different ways for us to understand this, right? One way is for us to understand that he directly caused it all. I don't know that that's true, right? I think one of the things I greatly misunderstood as I was growing up in the faith was how powerful the devil is. I want to be clear, he is powerful, right? He's more powerful than you or me. We're just humans. He's an angel. But he is not all-powerful. He's not all-present. He's not in all places. I used to think that the devil could hear my thoughts. There's no indication that that's true. He is not nearly as powerful as God. And so when we think about this eternal war between Jesus and the devil, a lot of times we think they're like in fisticuffs, just as even as could be. Absolutely not. He doesn't come close to the power and majesty of our God, but he is more powerful than you and I, which is why we must rely on Christ at all times, because we are in a battle that we cannot win on our own. What's the proof in the pudding of this? I think one of the biggest proofs of this is actually in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. They were tempted by the serpent, which later Scripture will tell us is the devil. And in that moment, sin entered the world and all of the consequence of sin entered the world. And so here's where I think we're understanding the tyranny of the devil. The tyranny of the devil is actually talking about how the sin that entered the world has sent everything into a path of destruction. Everything. I think we vastly underestimate just how powerfully our sin destroys us. Our sin brings us to a point not only where we are eternally separated from God, but it also brings us to a point where there is everything as God created it to be in order is no longer in order. So we don't really understand what it's like to live a life as God created it to be. We understand our life as the consequences of our sin. You get what I'm saying? Again, not a farmer, but the consequence was that we will toil in the ground, right? That the sweat of our brow will fall on the ground as we work. The indication is it was supposed to be easy. It was supposed to be fruitful. What's the sign of this? In the tree in the Garden of Eden, the trees in the Garden of Eden, they were all good for eating. Who took care of them? It wasn't Adam. It wasn't Eve. God created it fruitfully. And then our sin removed us from that. And so when we're talking about being under the tyranny of the devil, what's happening here, Jesus came and he was curing and healing those who were under the tyranny of the devil. What was Jesus doing? Yes, he was healing physical ailments, but there's one specific thing he was doing. He was giving forgiveness of sins. That is how he truly cured the tyranny of the devil, because our sin no longer had this devastating impact on us. We have been freed from the guilt that comes from our sin. Verse 39. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did in both the Judean country and in Jerusalem, and yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree. God raised up this man on the third day and caused him to be seen. Verse 41. Not by all the people, but by us whom God appointed as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43. All the prophets testify about him, that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Here's point number 3 tonight. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. You can see once again how this all kind of goes together. Let me paint the picture for you very clearly. God doesn't show favoritism. And thank God he doesn't show favoritism. Because if God showed favoritism, that would mean that some of us, even if we were to trust in Christ, would not receive forgiveness of sins. If we weren't part of a particular nation, or we weren't part of a particular people group, or if our skin looked a certain way, or if we behaved a certain way, if any of those things were true and God showed favoritism toward one over the other, the power and the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ came and died for all who would believe in him and have forgiveness of sins, that message is pointless if God shows favoritism. But he doesn't. If anything, and again, I want to be fair here, if anything, who God shows favoritism toward are those who believe in his son, Jesus Christ. If you want to make a case that God does show favoritism toward Christians, you're right. He gave this conditional agreement, if you will believe in my son, Jesus Christ, you will receive eternal life. It's conditional. You don't just get the gift of God without believing. There's action on our part. Right? It's through faith, but we have to believe. God doesn't show favoritism. And because God doesn't show favoritism, he sent his son into the world, which, by the way, God very easily, I mean, he's God after all, right? God very easily could have avoided all the pain that came from coming in the flesh. God very easily could have avoided coming into this world, being tempted, being tried, being crucified, being buried. He could have avoided all of that. But he didn't. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, why in the world would a good, loving, all-powerful God put himself through all of that for us? I don't have the answer. I don't know. I can't begin to express the depths of God's love for us. I can't begin to express the depths of which God would go to reconcile me to himself. All I know is that he did. And all I know is that he does. And so those 2,000 years ago who trusted in Jesus Christ and those who tonight trust in Jesus Christ, they are in the same camp, because God doesn't show favoritism based on when you accepted him. That's a whole other thing altogether. Just because you've been a believer for 50 years or 10 years or 2 minutes, we're all going to the same place. We're all worshiping the same God. We're all kneeling around the same throne. Because God doesn't show favoritism, and he cured the tyranny of the devil. And how did he cure the tyranny of the devil? By giving us the forgiveness of sins. This sin that was so heavy, you and I could not shoulder. This sin that was so heavy, you and I had no way to avoid the consequence of our sin. Adam and Eve, they sinned. What did they try to do? They ran. They literally tried to run from their sin, as if running away from our problems makes us not face consequences. You and I, when we sin, we no longer run into the bushes trying to hide from God, but we run straight into the arms of God the Father, because he is the only one who can show us forgiveness of our sins. We're not running away, we're running toward. And we're not hiding from God, we are hiding in God. And we are embracing his love for us, because God doesn't show favoritism. And somehow in this big chaotic world, and in this big sinful world, and in this big place where you and I don't feel like we stand out one bit, God himself knows every single hair on our head. Whether it's brown or platinum blonde or gray or non-existent, he knows every hair on our head, and he loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to be the propitiation of our sins. Big word. It means he took on our sin and he gave us his righteousness. So when we sing this song, you're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, you're my righteousness, anything good within me is not from me, it's only from Christ. And anything somewhat life-giving and somewhat reputable and somewhat good, if it's anything good in me, it's God alone. And so here's what I'd like to close with tonight. I think we all come to a point in our life, right, where maybe you relate with me. Maybe when you were growing up, you would run up to your parents or whoever, and you would say, I'm the favorite, right? It's me, right? Here's the most amazing thing about God. You know that song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands? It's a beautiful song. There's something else it makes me think of, though. If God is big enough to have the whole world in his hands, then it also means that God is big enough that no matter who runs to him, he can hug them all and embrace them all and welcome them all in, all at the same time. Doesn't matter what direction you came from, doesn't matter what background you came from, doesn't matter what kind of childhood you had, doesn't matter what kind of sin you committed, and all of these things, our God, who's big enough to hold the whole world in his hands, is also big enough to welcome you and I in all at the same time. If we would just put our trust in his son, Jesus Christ. So if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll preach this message till I get blue in the face, till my hair changes color. Trust in Jesus Christ. Receive forgiveness of sins. Escape the tyranny of the devil. And be welcomed into God's family. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness toward us. Lord, thank you for how you don't show favoritism. God, I just pray God, I need you. God, I need you more than I could ever understand. I need you to cure me. God, I think as I share a message about how big and powerful you are and how welcoming you are, I'm just as guilty as anyone else of sometimes denying how good you are. Instead of hiding in you, I hide from you. God, here we are. Whatever you have to sort out in our hearts, whatever you have to do with us, please have your way. And God, I pray that tonight as we sing this song, that we are not just giving lip service and we're not just saying something to appear one way before other people, but God, that it's the cry of our hearts. That we sing for an audience of one, and that is you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with me as we sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me.
Oh,
tonight. I hope you have a fantastic week. Just as a reminder, make sure you check the newsletter for all that's happening in our church. Keep up with things. There's so much I could spend forever telling you about all of it. So make sure you read that. If you have any questions, come see us at the office. We'd be glad to talk with you some. Love to pray for us to close us out. Again, I hope you have a fantastic week, and I hope you'll join us again next time. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your kindness toward us. God, would you please keep us all safe as we go from here? And would you please provide for all of our needs? And God, we praise you for all of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great night.